Good morning, Rhoda. It's 7:04 a.m. and I'm your host, Johnny Eldorado Garcia. With me today, I'm joined by Captain Teague Suarez. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
Pretty good. How have you been? It's been a while since I've seen you.
I think we've been a little bit off cycle here. I've had a couple other hosts. Good. I think everybody working here in Rhoda knows that it's just busy. It doesn't matter where you work or what you do. There's been a lot on our plate these past couple of months. So it's been really interesting. I've had the chance to learn a lot of new stuff, some painfully, a lot of it because we have a really good team here that helps me understand what's happening. But it's been really good. I recently went back to Norfolk. I had the chance to meet with the crew and families of Oscar Austin. Oscar Austin is a ship that will be joining us later on this year as the fifth forward deployed Naval Forces Europe destroyer. And it was really fascinating to meet with Oscar Austin's triad, with their families, with the sailors, and understand some of their concerns as they're getting ready to join us here in beautiful Rota, Spain. And I think they are really excited and probably just a little bit nervous, especially those who've never been overseas before. But that is kind of the major theme, I think, for most of us in Rota is looking forward to a lot of the growth, the new missions, a lot of the work that's coming our way. And for me, it's really exciting. The chance to be able to impact something as strategically important as a new destroyer showing up is really, really an honor on my part. And there's so many people throughout the installation, whether it's the folks at the hospital or the commissary or in MWR who are looking towards supporting all those families and sailors as they get out here.
So, sir, you mentioned learning new things. And, you know, that brought me to our topic for today, which is Women's History Month.
Yep.
And we were supposed to learn about, you know, women who have made great achievements in, you know, for the DoD theme of 2024.
Yep.
And so, let's talk about the past. What about the women who have served in the Navy?
Right. So the first people to serve in the Navy were nurses, the Sacred 20 back in 1908. But I think for most people, something like Women's History Month, the impact of women in the service, it's often not those things that happened in the past, but it's what they see right now. And if you walk around the installation, you can see women having an impact throughout the installation, not just in the Navy, in uniform, out of uniform, wherever they are. I think that every one of us can take a look and see where we have women making incredible impacts here on the installation. And this is always very personal for me because my wife served. She was a JAG when we first met. So I had the chance to see firsthand some of the struggles of a woman in the Navy, an officer in the Navy, and to see the way that some of the attitudes and policies have changed over the course of the time that I've known my wife to where we are now. We are by no means where we should be with a lot of the ways that a lot of the policies that we have, a lot of the ways that the Navy is put together. But I think the fact that we have our first woman CNO, Admiral Frank Cady, the fact that we have our first superintendent at the United States Naval Academy, the fact that we have the first female vice president, the fact that we have the first female U.S. ambassador to Spain and Andorra, there's a lot of instances where you can see the talent and compassion that put these women in positions of leadership and authority and just how effective they are in those positions. So I think all of us can take a look and see close by. There are some very immediate examples of just of the strength that women bring to the U.S. Navy.
So, sir, and with that being said, you know, we've talked about the past, we've talked about the present, but what about the future?
So the future's, it's always a little bit murky, right? So the future is what we make of it. And I'm in the enviable position that I have the chance to impact a lot of things in a lot of ways. But I think the simplest way that we can make the future more inclusive, to make it a stronger, tighter force, is to, in a professional manner, treat every sailor as a sailor. You know, in straightforward, if you are a woman or a man, regardless of your background, if I treat you as a sailor who brings a lot of talents and unique perspectives, then I put you in a position to help strengthen our Navy. And I think that regardless of where you lie on the political spectrum, there's a lot of different examples of people who doubt the strength of the Navy or who look at the Navy as we don't have the funding or the ships or there's other there are other countries who are in a position to challenge us. But I think that with the talent that we have in the Navy, there is no other Navy on the globe that can threaten us right now. As long as we are willing to tap into those perspectives, as long as we are willing to use the people with the knowledge and the talents that they have, no one can touch us. We have such a broad swath of society that we draw from in the United States Navy. And with each of those unique perspectives, it puts us in a position to surprise anybody who is trying to challenge us here. And I think anybody who grew up around the Cold War knows that the Russians, the joke is that the Russians knew our tactics, techniques, and procedures better than we did, because we never followed them. Because every time you put us in a challenging situation, we came up with unique and innovative ways to overcome that challenging situation. So the more we pull in diverse perspectives, the more opportunities we have to uniquely overcome those challenges. So regardless of where you think the Navy is right now, I'm really proud of where we are, and I'm really optimistic for the strength of the Navy going into the future, because the way that we incorporate those diverse perspectives.
All right. Well, speaking of diverse perspectives, I want to talk about a couple of women who have a critical role in our own communities. And we have two special guests coming in with us this morning, and we'll talk about them and introduce them after a quick little break. As for right now, you're listening to Saturn by CISA here on AFN Road of the Eagle, serving America's best. It's 7:17 a.m., and I'm your host, Johnny El Dorado Garcia, and we're back with Captain T. Suarez, the commander of Naval Station Rota. And then we're also joined by Rosa Caballero and Leo Varela from the ICR team. How are you two doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Very good, thank you very much.
So why don't you tell us about yourselves? What is a Flynn family like?
I'm Rosa. I am from Rota, and I have been working on base for 24 years, out of which 18 years I have been part of ICR, or Fleet and Family Support Center. My role is teaching ICR. So the other day, actually, I was doing the math, how many people I have seen during these 18 years, and the number is about 22,000 people.
Wow, 22,000 people. That's incredible.
Yes, sir.
It's awesome.
Quite a number. Yes, I am a Navy spouse. My husband is in the Spanish Navy. And we have two children, 12, soon to be 13 in a few days, 13-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl.
Very cool. Those are fun ages, too.
Oh, yes.
Can be a little bit challenging sometimes, but yeah, it's amazing watching the world just open up to them as they start to think through and use their own perspective to see it. I think it's fascinating.
It is absolutely fascinating. I learn from them every day.
Yeah, I do, too.
It's amazing.
Often phrases that I've never heard before, or words put together in a way that I've never really heard before. So.
Yes.
I'm Leo, and I have been working at Fleet and Family Support Center for the last 6 years, although I have been working on bay for the 30 years already. I was working at security 24 years, I feel Roteña from Rota, although I was not born here in Rota, and that's a short story. My family, as many families, when they open the base here in Rota, they emigrate from Huelva, that is another county of Andalusia, close to Portugal. They came here because my father was working in Huelva in a store. It was a grocery store with a belly delicatessen, like the best Iberian ham, the best cheese. And they just had those stores in Sevilla, Huelva, Madrid, Barcelona, in really big cities. But as they opened the installation, the base here, the people started increasing the proficiency power. Yeah. So they thought, let's go and open a store in Rota because then people is having more money to buy there. And that's, it was like that. The whole family, well, my parents came. Each time my mother was going to have a baby, we moved to Huelva with the family. But 15 days after that, we came to Rota. So I feel Roteña.
That's incredible. I think in some, so one of the things that's often most difficult for people in a position of leadership to do is to step back and get out of the way of people who are really good at what they do. I'm really lucky here because we have such talented people who have been here for so long, who understand the base, who understand the way Americans come over here and the way that they look at the differences between us back in the States and the way that we live here in Rhode. It's an absolute blessing to have you two here to help us as we first get here, our first introduction to the way life is here in Rhode. And the primary way that most of us learn is through ICR. Mm-hmm. So what is your favorite part of ICR? What do you guys like most about introducing all of us to Rhode and to Spain?
Well, we have to say that we both love what we do for a living, because it's true that it gives us a wonderful opportunity. I think when we realize that we have the power to make a positive impact on people, it's very rewarding, because by being ourselves and teaching this class where we actually basically share our life with people, people start to understand that living in this country, it's a great opportunity. We say things, congratulations, you have won the lottery, and we actually mean it. Yeah. Because we think it's a sort of lottery that you win when you get to live in a country like Spain. And we realize that from Monday to Thursday, the 4 days that they are with us in ICR, we can see the change on them. Monday, when they arrive, and sometimes they feel uneasy about attending a class. Yeah. I'm here because it's mandatory, but I only need the driving test. Yeah. I don't know how much this class is going to give me. But then as the week goes by, we can see the change. The attitude, the more positive, the more willing to learn more, give us more, teach us more, tell us more about this country. Because that's what it is. Between Monday and Thursday, they are going to gain so much knowledge. Yeah. About the country, the base, the everything, that many of them, when it's the last day, usually we get comments like, oh, we don't want this class to be over. Yeah. Should be another day or an extra week longer.
Yeah.
And even comments that they say like, thank you for this class. I'm glad it was mandatory. Otherwise, I would have chosen not to be here.
Yeah.
And then the most one time when someone told us, thank you. I think now we are ready to conquer Spain. So that explains it all. So
that's great.
I think it's the best part of ICR, at least to us personally,
mm-hmm.
when we make that change, when the people walk away with something good in their hands, feeling like it's worth the time. And now this helps us to understand, to ease our daily life here, because we know better what are the do's and the don'ts of about the country,
yeah.
what is people expect from us. Even we discuss how Spanish people see you as the American community living among us.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps to reduce the stress level, the anxiety level that initially you bring, because not only outside your country, it's like everything is so different.
It is,
that
yeah.
You don't know never what these people think of us.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's one of the best parts of ICR.
Totally agree. As Rosa said, we are very social people. We love to be with people, in contact with people. So it's a perfect job because we know everybody that is here on base, newcomers. And also, I think as Rosa, we love our country, and we know that there are so many things to see, to experience, that for us, each thing I do, I want to share with everybody, because yeah. if I like it, that I'm used to it, for you that you are new here and some things are so different to the things that you have in America. So we just want everybody to try to enjoy and have those experiences that are incredible. I love talking about the gastronomy because I love to eat. And I always speak about the gastronomy, but it's true that we have been through many civilizations here in Spain that they left a little of them here. So our gastronomy is incredible. Our nature is incredible. The culture that they can see. So, and the language, of course. We encourage them to learn the language because it's very important.
I do love, speaking of the gastronomy and the history, I love that you can drive about half an hour any direction and the food can be so different because of the different influences of the cultures there. Or you can drive half an hour away and see pieces of history that have been standing for millennia. It is the Phoenicians, I mean, predating the Romans. And there's history here in Rhoda itself. I love all those aspects of it. And speaking of loving your country, wanting to share it, that's something that I get a lot. When I run into somebody that I haven't seen in a little while, they almost invariably ask, So how do you love our country? How do you love being here in Spain? And I do love that. I think that it is that pride in Spain, the openness, wanting to share that with us. I think once people kind of get out there and start to experience that, it's just so welcoming. It's warm. It's wonderful. I love that part of being here in Spain. So speaking of, and I think we can kind of move into this now, speaking of some of the unique cultural aspects of it here, I think we're coming up on a very unique cultural opportunity here, Semana Santa. Mm-hmm. So can you guys explain a little bit about Semana Santa for those of us who are just coming from the United States? What is Semana Santa? What are some of the things that we can experience? What are some of the really surprising parts of it that we may not be ready for?
Well, we have to start saying that it's the most important event in the religious calendar. Yeah. This is our big week for Catholics. Mm-hmm. It's a tradition that has been in place for about almost 500 years. Wow. And it started back in the 15th century as a sort of, it was a sort of propaganda or marketing for Catholicism when Protestantism started to spread throughout Europe.
Ah, yeah.
Spain wanted to remain only Catholic. They reinforced the idea of remain Catholic. So this idea of taking these sculptures from church and taking them to the streets and walk the streets with them, and by doing so, try to educate people on what they thought it was the only true religion for this country. It was the real intention of that. And then at the beginning, it was mostly the last few days of Jesus on earth, what was represented there. So pretty much the arrival to Jerusalem, which is this coming Sunday, Palm Sunday, happy day for us, because what is going to be represented is the moment when Jesus arrived to Jerusalem. As the week goes by, we're going to start to see different moments that tend to be more sorrow, shows more sorrow, mm-hmm. mourning, because it's the death of Jesus, crucifixion, and then resurrection, which is next Sunday, Easter Sunday for us, called Resurrection Sunday. So it's an entire week, 7 days, mm-hmm. where you're going to see those pilgrimations in the streets.
Yeah.
Maybe the thing that catches the visitor's eye is the brothers, the way they are dressed, which is very surprising, because somehow you connect with something very different.
Yes, it does have a very different connotation. So,
exactly.
So kind of talking around it here, they are all dressed in white, and then they have tall, pointed white hats. So in the United States, that does evoke something very different than a Catholic procession. So for those who, this is their first Semana Santa, very different meaning here. It is very steeped in the Catholic tradition as part of the processions. And I do have to say, 500 years, this has got to be one of the best propaganda campaigns out there, because it is still so celebrated, such an integral part of society here. And it's more prevalent in the South. Is that right? There's more of the activities here in the South. So we're in a unique location to be able to fully experience it, because it'd be a very different experience up in the north of Spain.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have Semana Santa is all over Spain, but it's true that I had been in some parts of, well, in Salamanca, in Avila also during the Holy Week. And it's true that it's a little more like solemn, mm-hmm. we can say. Here, for instance, in Sevilla, we have one of the processions that even have Romans with the feathers, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So I think that here is much more colorful, and the people is like more, has more passion.
No? So so it's a more passionate celebration here.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And that's what you notice. They are like more alive, mm-hmm. no? The sculptures. I don't know, here in Rota, for instance, we have one that is the most popular, that is the night of Thursday, between Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
The procession go out at 2 a.m. It's the one with the biggest number of brother. It's more than 2,000, I think. It's long,
something.
Very long. Yes, and it's Jesus, it's El Nazareno, is the name of it. And the people really believe in the Nazareno, so you can see the faces of the people when they are watching that procession. It's incredible. People crying. So it's very, very emotional.
So for those of us who may not be who may not be Catholic, who don't understand all the importance of this, is there a way that we should act if we go to these processions, things that we should not do as these processions are taking place?
I always say that even if you don't care about the religious aspect of it, it's important to go and see it, because it's something that is, it's Spanish, and it's something that I know when UPC is from Spain, it's one of the things that you will also remember. Wow, and I remember the way they celebrate or the way they commemorate their beliefs, their religions. Important things to be aware during this week. People, the locals in this case for Rota, you will see how Spanish people get ready every day. Get ready, dress up with the kids, everybody go out to see, right? That's a way for us to support this tradition. If I am not an active member of a brotherhood, means I'm not going to be parading with them. I support this tradition by going out to see it. So you will see, no matter which street they're going to be walking through, people are going to be lined up along sidewalks, just waiting for that procession just to walk by. And some of them takes like an hour and a half to walk by, but still people will stay there and wait. The respect, I think, is the most important thing. You may run into something like that, and maybe you have no desire to see that, to stay there for an hour. You don't have to. You can always turn around and leave. One of the things that we usually say do not do is sometimes we see the people crossing among them. And to me, personally, it's a lack of respect, because this is their moment. This is their space. And we agree to that. So it's like, you get to the place, I don't want to be here. Easily turn around and leave. Nobody's going to judge you for that.
Okay.
But, and you will see even Spanish people doing that, crossing among the lines. But some brotherhoods are so serious that when they're walking the street, you're not allowed to walk. And if you try to get into the street, they will gently push you out and say, no, like, this is not your moment. It's our moment.
Okay.
So that is one of the things to be aware. Going out every day, even in time, is going to be busy. It's going to be crowded.
Okay.
Driving downtown probably is not the best thing to do this week.
Okay.
Because whenever they are parading, the streets are not open to traffic. So you may be stuck somewhere in traffic. So maybe walking downtown if you would like to, or early in the morning, usually there's no problem. Most of these processions take place in the evening time.
Okay.
Or some of them, like Leo said, 2 o'clock in the morning.
2 in the morning.
Until 2 p.m. the next day, 12 hours that procession is going to be. They come as close as the gate. That's how close they parade that one. Yeah, so usually the time that they're around there is, for some of you, your working hours already.
Okay.
So some Americans have commented, I was coming to work and I was stuck because I saw all these people dressed in purple. In this case, Deep Brotherhood is.
Okay.
They are different. You will see different colors depending on the moment of the week.
Okay.
Thursday, Friday, more the black, because black is the morning color for us. So Friday, Good Friday, is a morning day for us. So a lot of Spanish people on Holy Thursday, evening time, they start to wear black. Jerez, for example, is a very neat place to see, because a tradition for women in our society many centuries ago, we ornate our hair with a beautiful peineta, which is a sort of ornament that Queen Isabel used to wear, and only ladies in high-class society were allowed to use that.
Okay.
So that has remained in our culture until nowadays for only two moments in your life. Holy Thursday, Spanish women would dress up in black and wear that beautiful veil, peineta.
Yeah.
And then for a wedding, the mother of the groom gets to wear that in white.
Okay.
So that remains from, it's an inheritance from centuries ago. And many times that peineta that you own, it's been an inheritance from your great-great-grandmother to your great-grandmother. So it's an honor to wear that day. And that's another thing, the dress attire every day for Spanish people during this week is a dressy week. And by dressing up, we also show our respect to what is happening. So, yes, for the ones that would like to be part of that, for example, our field trip, Freedom Family, on Thursday, we're going to Jerez. We always give some attire recommendations, because paying a visit to church, which is customary on Thursday, to do seven times in and out, the dress attire, very important. So no khaki shorts, not spaghetti stripes for dresses, nothing like that. We observe those traditions during this week.
Okay, so for those of us who want to go out and to watch some of these, we should understand that it's customary to dress a little bit nicer, to be a part of these processions, to just be in the audience with these processions as a sign of respect to. And also for those who are trying to get to work on Thursday and Friday morning, have a little bit of patience, understanding that this place will kind of shut down and focus on some of these activities. Okay, that's all great to know. And I had heard about the veil. I learned about that before coming over here, but it's only since I've been here that I've seen actual how important that is. And it's really cool. Another example of the traditions and history here that just continues to amaze me.
Mm-hmm. And so now we've already talked about Semana Santa, but I know Feria is coming up in April. And, you know, I already went Feria dress shopping with a couple of my friends because while we were in Sevilla, why not? So I still don't know that much about Feria. Can you explain a little bit about it?
Okay, yes. I love the feria. It's my favorite festivity. So, yes, we will have it here in Rota from the 1st to the 5th. The origin for the feria is a little different what we have now that the origin was. It started in Rota in 1942. And it started like livestock market.
So it's almost like the way county fairs for us in the United States started. It was a way to celebrate certain parts of the harvest or the livestock.
Yes. And the people that had the farmers, and normally they have like small portions of land, not big lands, but small portions. They cultivate tomato, pumpkins, potatoes, and also they have a few animals there. Cows, horses, goats, and also roosters. We also see in the feria. So it was a place they went to the pine area to sell the animals. So they were traders. The thing is that any business that they did, I can imagine that they celebrate having something to drink. So they start putting like counters at the pine area, and because of that, then they invite the families. Little by little, they start doing like a family affair. But at that moment, they don't even have food. The people, the families, brought the food.
Okay.
I have some pictures, and my neighbor actually, that she's from Rota, from all her life, they say that the mother was with the tortilla and with the cold cuts and everything there because they just sell the drink. Nowadays, it's totally different.
Okay.
And I think that was the beginning in all the ferias around Andalucía. Different time, but that was the reason.
Yeah, I will say that both the ladies in my house have their feria dresses, so they're ready. Now my son and I have to go get our sport coats to make sure that we are ready to match them. And this is another one, I think, just like some of the processions, these will kind of go all night, a lot of nights. I know when I went to the opening ceremony with the mayor last year, it's started late, and I know he stayed for quite some time. So there is a chance for some of us to get out there and enjoy a lot of the festivities. And the hours, I think, is something that is still tough for me to adjust to, how late everything happens here. But it is fun watching the celebrations kick off, watching the families, the kids, everybody running around. I do love the feria season.
And you can go during the day, actually. Mm-hmm. The big opening ceremony happens in the night because it's the lining of the
lighting.
Feria. So it has to be dark to see the beauty of those lights. But then the next day, during the day, I personally enjoy the feria during the day. I have children, so I no longer can stay there until 1, 2 o'clock. Although our children in this country, I think, are born to be that way.
It seems like
But it's true that the day gives you another side of the feria, which is also very beautiful. During the day, we get to see also the beautiful horses.
Yes.
Especially Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the riders. first the adults and the children, which is amazing to see the pride on them riding those horses. And it's beautiful. And that is that's what remains from the livestock market that used to be. You can see that on the horses parading. It's very connected.
Okay.
Our feria traditions to the horses that are part of a very important piece in the feria. The one in Jerez, for example, is dedicated to the horse.
Right.
And it's amazing to see those beautiful, beautiful horses parading and the carriages that they take that are centuries old.
That's
where
cool.
Actually you will be offered, would you like to go on for a ride? Just know that if they ever offer that, it's not for free.
No.
Before you say yes and get in, say
be ready
how
to,
much,
yeah.
Yes, but how much? And even negotiate the price a little bit.
Okay.
Spanish people tend to do so. If you feel like you want to do that, feel free of doing so, because the first price that they say probably is not going to be the one that they expect to get. So that's a tip.
So I think in the United States, we don't do a lot of negotiating. So we have to be ready to try something new here with Feria. So if there's... I think Rota is a great place to experience feria. It is smaller. It still gets very crowded. There's a lot of people. You're going to run into a whole bunch of people that you know. But if you wanted to see a different feria, one of the bigger ones, what would you recommend? I've heard Jerez is a great one to go.
Yes, Jerez is perfect to go because we can say that the nicer one is going to be Sevilla.
Okay.
But Sevilla is too big. Most of the casetas, they are going to be private.
So
at least you go with someone that is from Sevilla, you are not going to have the chance to go into these casetas.
Okay.
It's actually very nice to go because you will see a lot of ambience and it's very, very nice. But in most of the casetas, you're not going to be able to go inside.
Okay.
So it's a change. So I will recommend to start, of course, with the one in Rota.
Of course, yeah.
But Jerez is a good option. And as Rosa said, the horses in Jerez, they are amazing. Amazing. You can just be... wash a lot of them, the carriage, the people that are riding the horses, the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. But yes, starting with that, and we also have in Sanlúcar, the one in Sanlúcar, I love it.
And me too.
Because it's very small.
It's right along that walk we're heading towards the beach, right?
Uh-huh, exactly. Yeah. It's in that area that is La Calzada.
La Calzada.
Downtown, very close to the beach. So it's very small, but very, very nice. Mm-hmm. I love it. Actually, the time for that is going to be the 28th May until the 2nd of June.
Okay, so that's one of the later ones.
Mm-hmm, yeah. A little more hot time, but still perfect. One thing very good for you, for the American community about the feria, is that the kitchen never closes.
Okay, so if you're hungry, you'll always find some food.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
And we also have, I think, the week after the feria here in Rota, Puerto has their feria as well. And I had the chance to go to that one last year, and it's amazing the different personalities of the ferias. It was much bigger when they had the lighting ceremony. They had fireworks. It was, I mean, the highway was tied up as people tried to get there. It was just bigger, more crowded. It was a very different feel to that one.
Each feria is dedicated to a specific theme. So the one in El Puerto is dedicated to the fino sherry wine.
Ah, okay.
The one in Jerez is to the horse. Mm-hmm. And the one in Sanlúcar is, of course, the manzanilla sherry wine.
Oh,
so
that's
each
cool.
one will have their own personality. That's why touring all of them, maybe not in the same year.
Right? That's a lot.
After that, you will become not an expert on feria, but maybe a survivor of the feria. But 1 year, a different one, it's a good way to see different and all of them. You know, the same, the happiness, the cheerful, the friendship. We always say that Americans should never feel alone in ferias because we see one of you and we are there and say, hey, come over, join us, or already be invited. My caseta is this one, such and such. Make sure you come and have a glass of wine with us. That's another thing that is important to be aware, the wine, wine.
Yep.
It's a very dangerous drink. So drink it slowly. Yeah. We invented this option, which is rebujito.
Yeah, that's a very dangerous one too, because it goes down very easily.
Very easy, very easy. But the feria, the season for the feria is already hot. you become thirsty.
Yeah.
If you're dancing, this is something that we recommend to the American
Sevillanas.
Learn how to dance Sevillanas.
So we took the lessons. So we took lessons last year, and I can't say that we actually knew what we were doing, but we gave it a shot. So we're going to try again this year, see if we can get just a couple more, a couple more steps.
It's a lot of fun because it's when you feel like you really mingle with the people, like you're one more between us.
When you're on the dance floor, you're certainly part of that, the family out there. It was a lot of fun.
And it's very important also to eat. That's why we are. You barely see Spanish people like because we eat all the time.
Yeah.
We drink, dance, and also when you are dancing, you also. But eating is very important, and especially the things that we eat during feria, very very typical. Los fried pepper. Fried green pepper, and also because we do that with a lot of olive oil, extra virgin, and they say that it makes really a good
effect. It helps.
It helps when you are drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
So the tortilla de patatas, no, the Spanish
one of my favorites.
Also very typical, and we also eat something that is very quick to eat and give you also a lot of energy. That is the serranitos. With the pork, the fillet of pork, the bread, and also the Iberian ham and the green pepper inside, also is a very good thing.
Yeah, so I would be remiss if I didn't remind everybody who's listening right now, if you're going to feria, make sure that you got a plan. So have a plan to safely get home. It's really easy to have a couple more of those rebujitos than you were planning on. But I know that we use taxis every time we went. There's a taxi stand at every one of these. Make sure you know where that is. And you have a good plan to get yourself safely home so you can go find a different feria next time and celebrate there.
Exactly. We do it too. I don't drive to the feria. No, I take a taxi.
Yeah, it's crazy. Trying to drive down there is crazy.
I know, depending on the moment, everybody fights for the taxi, by the way. Something, because I've been there watching sometimes, if it's a brand new person, a brand new American, they don't understand maybe the taxi system, how it works. Like, we get in line. So the fact that you go farther out to stop a taxi, it's not going to work.
Oh, so you got to find
you
the taxi
need to
stand
stay
itself.
In your line, and then slowly, you know, taxis are coming.
Just be patient.
So first, exactly. A little bit of patience, but because it confuses Spanish people. When they get, and the taxi drivers too, it's like, why are you in the middle of the road? Get there. You will get your taxi eventually.
Okay.
So stay in your line.
That's a great piece of advice. Yeah. So know where the stand is and just join the line and wait.
Yes.
Okay. And with that being said, thank you guys so much for talking to us and letting us know a little bit more about the culture here, because I know a lot of people just recently came to base. Some of my friends are super excited about Semana Santa. They're probably going to go to Sevilla. Some of my friends, like I said, they already bought their feria dresses and they're ready to go out and party. So with that being said, it's time for us to take a quick little break, and you're listening to Nothing But a G Thing by Dr. Dre here in AFN Road of the Eagle, serving America's best. It's 7:52 a.m., and I'm your host, Johnny Eldorado Garcia, and we're back with Rosa Leo, as well as Captain Teague Suarez, the commanding officer of Naval Station Rota. And now it's time for us to do a quick little trivia game, but we still have time. And this one, sir, I'm going to ask you this one first. All right. How many UNESCO World Heritage Sites can you name in Andalusia?
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to fail miserably on this one, because I know that there are individual towns with a collection of UNESCO Heritage Sites. My wife and I have talked about this a couple of times, but I'm getting some help saying there's eight of them, but I don't. I'm totally blanking on any of them right now. I can picture them. So I want to say Alcazar, but that's in every city. So that's cheating by saying there's an Alcazar.
I think it's eight.
I don't remember.
So there is eight. There is eight. Man, you're close.
I'm sure.
Alcazar, you got it right.
Yeah, well, I know. I know there's a lot more than that, and there's a lot more right around us.
Rosa, Leo, was it this one?
Alhambra, maybe? La Alhambra in Granada?
Yeah.
Alhambra. And the cathedral in Sevilla? Maybe another one?
Sí.
Yeah. Okay. The Mezquita in Córdoba?
Sí.
Uh-huh.
Right now, my wife is shaking her head in disappointment because she has pointed out every one of these to me, saying that we're going to go visit these if we haven't already.
Maybe a natural one, Doñana? National Park.
Okay, we're halfway there.
Halfway there, only four?
Yes.
Maybe.
I think we probably need some help with the rest of these.
All right, so I'm just going to name out the last ones. The last four are Yudeba and Baeza, the Antiquera Dolmen site, Medina Sahara, and then Rock Art. Rock Art. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But yeah, those should be the last four UNESCO sites.
And, that's just in Andalusia. Mm-hmm. So yes. Yeah, just a small sample of the amazing history and heritage here.
All right. So next question for our trivia game. What was the name of the Spanish currency before the euro?
We know that. Peseta.
That the American community used to call it potato.
No kidding.
Peseta.
Yeah. That's funny. I didn't know that.
All right. So the peseta was established as the basic unit of Spanish money by the means of a government decree enacted in October 19th of 1868 all the way until 2022. Wow. And it was a common currency used throughout Spain for over 130 years. And now it's time for our last trivia question. Mm-hmm. Apart from Spanish, what are the other four official languages spoken in Spain?
Oh, is it Catalan?
Uh-huh.
Up in the north.
Galicia?
Gallego. Gallego, okay. And Vasco.
Okay, so very good.
I knew the regions, I couldn't remember the languages. Okay.
All right. Can you guys name the last two?
The Castellano.
Oh,
Castellano. Euskera. Valenciano is considered as a language.
So I all learned something. Valenciano. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we have Valenciano, and then the last one is called Euskera.
Euskera from
equals Vasco.
It's up north.
It's the same.
Well, thank you guys for participating in the trivia game.
I learned something new. Thank you. A couple of new things.
And with that, now it's time for us to do a quick little wrap-up. And, sir, I know you wanted to talk about a few upcoming events happening here on base.
Yeah, I think the big thing, it kind of going along with Semana Santa, we have our annual Explosion event. So this is a huge MWR event for the kids. It's going to be over in the ball fields by La Plaza. It is going to be on April 6th this year. So it's going to be the weekend after Easter. For families who want to participate, it's open to everybody. Just request that you go to the Liberty Center to sign up so that MWR can have the right kinds of eggs. They got it broken down by age so every kid has a fair chance to get out there and get some of those eggs. Great event. Open to U.S. all U.S. ID card holders. But go sign up for it and then come on out on the 6th. It's going to be more than just Easter egg hunts. There's also going to be some booths set up around there. It's a great time for families. And then something that Rosa and Leo talked about at the beginning of this, there is a Fleet and Family Sports Center Jerez Holy Week Parade Tour up in Jerez. There's only a couple of slots still remaining, so this is a very popular trip. And if you're interested in it, go to Fleet and Family and try and sign up for it. If there's room on the bus, we'll get you on there. It is a great way to experience Semana Santa with people who understand it, who've grown up with it, who can really convey the passion that they feel for Semana Santa here. And then get out there. I know that the Welcome to Rota team from the Ayuntamiento de Rota puts together information for all of us here. Don't be afraid to get onto their website to take a look at the information they have. I know there are flyers for Semana Santa. I'm holding one in my hand that'll help me understand ways that I can go celebrate. They've got some good information for Feria. So the city of Rota really wants us to be a part of these celebrations. And I hope that everybody out there has the chance to go find the information they need to be comfortable with it and go out and be a part of the community. It's one of the amazing parts of being here in Rota, Spain. You said at the very beginning, we won the lottery. And coming here to Rota, Spain, we've been trying for over a decade to come here. So we were so excited to have this chance. And I love the way that you guys are helping us be a part of all of it. So thank you. Thank you, Rosa. Thank you, Leo, for coming here and sharing some of your experience, your passion, your love for not only Spain, but for helping us be a part of what we do here. It's an honor to have the chance to work with you and to be here on the radio show with you. Thank you for everything that you guys do for all of us here.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you
for having us.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
And here's hoping that we can have you guys back in more often, because I know I love learning about Spain as much as I can. And thanks again so much, sir. I know you have a very busy schedule, so it's always a pleasure to have you on air.
Oh, yeah, I love this every time. Thank you.
All right, now it's time for us to get back to the music, and you're listening to Like That by Doja Cat featuring Gucci Mane here on AFN Road of the Eagle, serving America's best.